the WCBS Health and Wellbeing Report, sponsored by the Valley Hospital in Ridgewood, New Jersey. I Only Want to Get Married Once is the book written by therapist Chana Levitin. The entire interview at cbsnewyork.com/healthandwellbeing. All right, we are rolling. Chana, first of all, why do you think the divorce rate is so high in America?
Well, I think it's largely because people are not dating wisely. They're looking for something, oftentimes, that really doesn't exist. And the truth is, we're all imperfect, and we have to, going into a relationship, in a sense, know what we're looking for, what's most important, and also what's not important. And we need some guidelines as to how to choose the right marriage partner.
Now, when you talk about what's important and what isn't important, some people might argue that you don't know what's important until it's too late, until you're in, you know, you're in a relationship that isn't working.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, when I say what's important, I'm really talking about values, what we really stand for, what we live for, what makes us tick. And we do need to spend a lot of time getting to know ourselves in that way. And I don't think we should enter into a serious relationship until we know that. So, of course, with time we can change, et cetera. But there's some certain basic bedrock values that we need to get in touch with that we feel are going to carry us through life. Those are the types of things that we want to make sure match up with our dating partner.
And a lot of times when you're, quote-unquote, in love with somebody, you have those rose-colored glasses on and you don't really see who that person is.
That's right. So really, that's why I wrote my book, because after counseling people for over 20 years, I developed guidelines based on the mistakes that people were making. And my book is based on 10 questions that a person needs to ask themselves to reality check themselves while they're dating. Because, yeah, we want the chemistry. We really want to be in that flow. But because we can't think when we're in that flow, these are the questions that really sober us up to make sure that we're in reality.
Well, your questions are fantastic. Let's go over them. The first one is, do you share the same basic goals and values? And that isn't anything to be sloughed over, is it?
No, it's just as relevant today as it always was, if anything, even more relevant since we're so complex. And when the infatuation, again, infatuation is a wonderful beginning for a relationship, but it cannot sustain a relationship and really will not last more than, you know, 2-3 years at max. So when the infatuation starts to fade, that's when values take center stage. And if the values clash, the relationship is really doomed.
Can you give me an example?
Well, I was recently working with there's a couple who actually both come from a Christian background, but you know, they were dating, having a great time, they got married, having a great marriage, and then like 3 years into the marriage, hey, let's have some kids, you know, let's start a family. And the guy's like, yeah, you know, and I really want to take my kids to church. I mean, I grew up, you know, going to church, and those are my wonderful memories. And his wife was just sitting there startled and said, what do you mean church? I mean, I'm an atheist. We never spoke about religion. I thought you're an atheist like me. And it really derailed the relationship. And it's amazing how they spent so much quality time together, but they never really spoke about this.
Going to the second question, are you relating to the person you are dating, or are you really relating to an image?
Yeah, it's a tough one because, you know, we're attraction's important. We want to like the person's image. We want to feel proud walking down the street with them and introducing them to our friends. But we get too caught up in image, and it's not just looks, but, you know, profession. I know someone who married a guy in med school, and she was all excited. And then, you know, after they got married, he dropped out of med school because he figured it really wasn't who he was. And she had the identity crisis, not him.
Can you admit that the person you are dating has faults, and are you realistic about your faults?
Yeah, this is a big one. This is question number three. Mm-hmm. You know, when we're infatuated, there's actually a few chemicals that are released in our system, and one of them is phenylethylamine, which, you know, creates this high. We don't need to sleep. We don't need to eat, and it's so much fun, but it wears off. And what it does when we're all drugged up like that is we're not in reality in terms of a person's faults and what that means for us. So this is again a sobering question to not gloss over, but to really stop and think. You know, can I really live with his or her faults? Can I handle that?
And a lot of times we don't see faults. I've heard somebody say that you don't really see the real person until a year has passed because you can't keep up a facade for over a year. What would you say? You see a lot more of this than I certainly.
Well, you know, I have to say, you know, after being married almost 25 years myself.
Ooh.
And yeah, and still going strong.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And really having worked with thousands of people already in singles and married couples, we do, you know, we in a sense, we don't really get to know ourselves, not even our partner, until we're married. So there's all sorts of revelations and discoveries about our own personality, and also about our partner, and they're going to discover things about us as well. So that's why it's important to start with the shared values. It's important to start with a certain level of trust, which we're going to get to in the further questions.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
All of the things that I outlined, because if those basic things are there, then we're going to roll with the punches. We're going to work with what comes up. If you have a strong foundation, that's really what it takes.
Moving on to number four, does your relationship have healthy boundaries? What do you mean by that?
Oh, it's a big one. It's mm-hmm. I think it's the longest chapter in my book, and that's after I cut it down. it's a big one because in order to be close to another person, we have to have a self first. It's commonly said that a happy marriage is two people becoming one. Well, you know, that's half the truth, but the one also needs to be two, meaning each one of us needs to stand on our own two feet, have our own identity, have our own self-respect and our own life going, and then we can merge, we can add, we can connect and join with another person, but we don't become them. You know, that's the unhealthy statement is, yeah, sure, a happy marriage is two people becoming one. The only question is which one? And that sometimes people think that's what closeness is, and that's really the opposite. That's really controlling a person, swallowing them up, mm-hmm. being lost in another person. That's not closeness.
Number five is, what do people you are close to have to say about the person you are dating? And, you know, when I was a lot younger, I thought, what business is it of theirs? But it can really give you a lot of insight.
Oh, yeah. I'm referring to the people we love and trust.
Yes.
You know, I'm not saying you should go take a poll of everyone you know.
Right.
But I'm saying, hey, you know, the people you love and trust, because when no matter how wise and savvy we are blinded. And there's a certain dating haze that we're caught up in when we're dating. So it's important if people we're close to are scared or they're worried or they're seeing something that's really, I'm not saying everyone has to get the person we're dating, but if someone's worried about a dating pattern or what's happening to us, that we're just sort of going backwards into bad patterns, we need to listen. We need to take it seriously.
Number six is all about Aretha Franklin. Is there mutual respect?
Yeah, this is big. This is big, and respect is has to do with accepting a person and valuing their opinions, and mutually. It's got to be a mutual kind of thing. Part of respecting another person is being in a place where we ourselves, you know, respect ourselves, and we know that we stand for something. It's nothing more of a turnoff than clinginess. So the respect, the mutual respect, begins with self-respect, and then we want to really be able to see the other person and say, hey, you know, is there something that I really, just really admire about this person in a real way?
Number seven is, can you be open and honest with the person you are dating? Do you trust them?
Yeah. So we know that trust is the basis for emotional intimacy. because intimacy, as we know, is into me see. It's being open, allowing a person to see us. So I remember someone who was dating for a while, and she said, you know, I'm crazy about this guy. I can't stop thinking about him. It's unbelievable. But, you know, I can't open up. I can't. What's the matter with me? I never have trouble opening up. And then she said, oh, you know, I know what it is. I don't trust him. And she said, but that's crazy. I can't stop thinking about him. I don't trust him. And I said, welcome to the wonderful world of infatuation. we can be crazy about someone and not trust them and not respect them and sometimes not even like them. So, yeah, trust is a basis for emotional intimacy, and emotional intimacy is a basis for love. So, you know, this is big. This is a big one.
I was going to say, hopefully you discover whether you trust them or not before you get married, because that's a hell of a thing to find out when you're, you know, 3 years into it.
That's right. That's why we have to check not only our gut in terms of trust, but track record. You know, how does a person deal with other people? You know, not only the track record in terms of work, because, you know, the economy being what it is, it's hard to hold a job down. So, but, you know, what's our track record across the board with friends, with family? You know, we got to check that stuff.
Number eight. Now, this one would seem to the uninitiated to be crazy, but boy, this is a big one also. How well do you get along with the person you are dating? How is your communication?
Yeah. You know, we know that communication is one of the most important aspects, not only in marriage or in any relationship. The question is, you know, is it normal to argue? And yes, it's normal to argue. Two people are married, they're going to argue. The question is how much arguing is okay. And we can certainly thank Dr. John Gottman for his research that shows that, you know, 5-to-1 ratio of positive to negative interactions is healthy, ideally 20-to-1. But we want to make sure that the positive outweighs the negative. But by the way, that doesn't mean that when there's conflict or something going on that we shove it under the rug. Mm. And we need to learn how to bring this stuff up, you know, to bring it up. And I always say, you know, the sandwich way, you know, which is you start with the positive. I love you. I care about you. And then to bring up, you know, we all need that. And then to bring up the stuff, not as you did this, but I language, because I think we could all, no matter how growth oriented we are, none of us like to be accused or blamed. And once we hear the word you, we shut down. So we can talk about anything and we need to talk about things, but it's how we bring it up. And when we use the I language, hey, you know, I'm sensitive about this and I really want to talk to you about it, then usually people can listen. And then the last piece of the sandwich is, again, to end with the positive, you know. And I'm telling you this because I love you and I care about our marriage, about our friendship.
Mm. Now, number nine, does the person you are dating bring out the best in you? Ooh.
No. Yeah. I mean, we sometimes we just are head over heels and over the moon with someone, and our worst is coming out. You know, we're getting more depressed. We're getting super anxious. Certain patterns, addictions that we might be over are resurfacing. Does the person we're dating bring out our best, or is the opposite happening? That, you know, although we're in love, we're just moving backwards.
And number 10 is, if the person you're dating never changes, would you still want to get married?
Oh, yeah. So this is also a big one. When oftentimes we think we're going to change the person afterwards, and that doesn't work. When we're out to change someone, it backfires. So, and I've seen men do this. I've seen a lot of women do it. There's just, you know, this sense of, you know, I'm going to change this person. And, you know, I always say the only time you can change a person is when they're still in diapers, you know.
And even then.
So, yeah, we got to make sure that we're good with who the person is and accepting their faults as who they are. And we're not going to find, again, perfection just as much as we're not perfect. And our spouse is going to have to deal with us as well, our stuff.
Well, that was fascinating. But I have to end with a question. How much do you think somebody should work on their marriage? I know that there are a lot of people who believe that things should come more easily, that if you have to work on it so much, maybe it wasn't right to begin with. What do you have to say about that?
That's such an important question, Pat, and I'm really glad you're asking it. Because, you know, I even though my book is entitled I Only Want to Get Married Once, it's not that I'm anti-divorce. There are times when a couple really needs to throw the towel in, but I would say that's more for if there's abuse, if there are unchecked mental illnesses, unchecked addictions, and people aren't working. Now, I've seen couples in really bad shape, turn their marriages around. So I'm a believer in working, and it is hard work. It's hard work, but most of the hard work, Pat, is really comes down to our own work on our own personality. And most marriages, you know, it's too easy to blame the other person. In most marriages, it's really two people are feeding off of each other, and each one of them has to do their own work. So I when I work with a couple, you know, I really show them, each one of them, what their contribution is and what their work is. And when people take responsibility for their side of it, that's when things really start to move. And I've seen incredible things happen. So it is work. It's a lot of work. When a couple's dating and they're working too hard, I worry.
Yeah.
That's when I worry. Yeah. But when they're married, and that's when the work needs to be put in.
Therapist Chana Levitin, who wrote, I Only Want to Get Married Once. I'm Pat Farnak, WCBS 880.